I'll be reading today from Heir to the Glimmering World by Cynthia Ozick. The passage begins on 167. He kept his old knapsack, a little ragged now, but the leather straps held, and wondered if he ought to get himself a motorcycle. In the end, he took buses. He had no destination. To have a destination, one needs an education. How else to be a pilgrim? He went, for instance, by happenstance, because the bus was headed there, to Walden Pond. It was no different from any other water. He contemplated enrolling in a university, but the thought of studying made him tired, and besides, what would be the point of it? He recoiled from books. He was a book himself. He was 15 books. His bangs and his knees had been turned into a sort of scripture. The buses led him all over New England, and New England was boring, so he rode back to New York, telephoned Mr. Fullerton and Mr. Brooks. He declined to visit their offices, had a loud argument over what they called numerous valuable items in storage, and found his way to certain clandestine bars. He missed the keef and tried a greenish powder recommended as almost as good. It wasn't. By a silly fellow he met in a bus station. These days, it was necessary to drink in secret cellars, speakeasies that seemed jolly enough to their denizens, who smoked and flirted and snarled arms and legs around the nearest body of whatever sex. He did the same, and laughed about raids as if they were as random and likely as rain. He was in a raid himself once, and spent a few hours in the lockup, until he handed out $100 bills, which made his jailers suspect him of robbery, from the look of him. But they pocketed the bills and let him go. The next day, a Friday, he got on a train at Grand Central. On a whim, he treated himself to a sleeper, and in the dining car sat down opposite a middle-aged man in a clerical collar and a cassock. The man was not a priest. He was an actor traveling in costume. His name was Arnold Partridge, and he was getting off at Altoona, where he hoped to join the rest of the cast just before the curtain went up. He was, he said, wearing a bald wig, which took a terribly long time to put on. Yesterday, he had been obliged to attend the funeral of an aunt, his mother's sister, in Yonkers. The director could not prevent his going, but insisted, there was no understudy, they returned for the Friday night performance. Hence his arriving fully garbed and accoutred, ready to set foot on the stage. He didn't mind running around impersonating a priest, he said. People treated him respectfully, as they never did without the collar. And anyhow, impersonation was his business. It wasn't much of a business. He belonged to a small itinerant repertory company that lived from hand to mouth, playing only on the weekends. Playing what? Rubbish, Arnold Partridge said. Murder in the monastery. Are you the murderer? I'm the one that gets his throat slit in the third act. Come and see. His ticket was stamped straight through for Chicago. He tore it up. It hardly mattered. He could see Chicago another time, and alighted at the Altoona together with the fake priest, who was, as he confidently announced, just in time for his entrance in scene two. At $1.80 a ticket, the Little Glory Theater's 68 seats were all filled, mainly with white-haired ladies in white shoes holding hand fans with the company's name printed on them, under a picture of a Japanese bridge over a stream. The men wore unbuttoned vests over shirt sleeves and no jackets, and docilely kept their straw boaters on their laps. The plot was both intricate and ludicrous, but the audience was grateful and clapped in intermission, and even more vigorously when the actors took their bows. The ingenue, who played, in pigtails, the priest's unacknowledged daughter, looked to be close to 50. A 10-year-old boy had a walk-on part, and stood wordlessly, his eyes deadened by tedium. This same boy mounted a stool behind a table at the back of the auditorium during intermission, and sold 5-cent candy bars and bags of saltwater taffy marked Genuine Atlantic City Boardwalk for 20 cents each. He was the ingenue's son. He traveled with the company and never went to school.